Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn with me to Psalm 24. It's a good day. I can't think of any place I'd rather be.
Amen.
I want to serve the Lord. I want the Lord to be pleased with the meditation of my heart. And man, sometimes you just got to, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm a long way away from you folks. Maybe if you'd sit on the front row, I'd back up. But I don't know. I want to tell you that I appreciate God allowing me to be part of His great work. Just calling me out of my own stupidity back when I was a young man and putting me into the labor, putting me into the work, giving me something to do and having something to live for. It's just all been a very, very big blessing. And then that God's given me my family and so wonderful the blessings that He's given me. I just want to express my gratitude to the Lord for that and tell you that this is not a waste, man. Don't waste your life, you know, going out trying something else. Just serve the Lord and you find out, boy, this is worth it. God is worth serving. Psalm 24 verse 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's a pretty simple concept, right? Pretty simple concept. God says, it's all mine. It's mine, everything. And everything in it is mine. It's all mine, even you, you're mine. This is God's statement. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it and everybody in it belongs to me. Now, God says this many times. So this is not the only place that same concept is mentioned. Different times in Deuteronomy, a lot of times. It's over and over again, several times in the Psalms. It's repeated in the New Testament many times. The world is God's. He claims it. He says it's mine. And everybody in it is mine. And that brings several things to mind for me. It brings me to think about several things. So I want to first of all point out God's point of view. Second, I want to point out God's endorsement of ownership. That's not necessarily well known, but God endorses property. If He says mine, come on now. Come on. God's claim, at least His promise to claim what is His. God claims what is His. And then I want to talk about God's expectation out of us. Because He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So first of all, let's talk about God's point of view. Just the concept of points of view. Everybody ought to know there's more than one point of view in everything. You've heard of the bird's eye point of view? Well, that's different than, say, the squirrel's point of view, which would be even different than the dog's point of view. Dogs are looking up at the trees, and the birds looking down at the trees, and the squirrels are inside the trees looking around. Those are three different points of view. Did you realize that other people have different points of view than you?
Amen.
We got different points of view. And let me tell you something else. They're all legitimate. Everybody's point of view is legitimate. Now, I know there's a lot of illegitimate arguments and stupidity, and they can't claim that that's a point of view. But listen, men have a different point of view than women. About sex, about marriage, about children, about work, different point of view. About, you ever heard the statement, a man's got to do what a man's got to do? You know why they say that? Because they can't make sense of it to a woman. You cannot make a woman understand why you got to go beat that guy up. But you know you got to, right? Now, you take a woman, she'll have a different point of view also. She'll say, well, I don't understand that. That does not make any sense to me. And she's absolutely right. It doesn't make any sense to her. That doesn't mean it doesn't make any sense. But it makes no sense to her, right? But it is a different point of view. You know, we've got right now, our politics has gone crazy. And the people honestly don't see anybody else's point of view. It's just ridiculous how polarized people are. And everybody else is evil. And it's us against them. And it's incredible how can you not actually put yourself in somebody else's shoes and say, well, you know, they do have a point of view? I don't care whether it's immigration, build a wall, or if it's an immigration, poor things. It doesn't, they all have a point of view. Everybody's got a point of view. And you have to be a little bit more understanding of somebody else's point of view. Everybody does. All of you in this room need to be more understanding of somebody else's point of view. You have not really begun to be a decent thinker until you can actually think about somebody else's point of view. Put yourself in their shoes. Consider it from their viewpoint. Everybody's got a point of view. Points of view are everywhere. By the way, did you know that God has a point of view? Now, I've mentioned it. I don't like saying God has an opinion. He does have an opinion, but it sounds trivial when you say God has an opinion, because God's opinion is the only opinion that matters. And it's more than an opinion. It's based on, you know, super intelligence and knowing everything from the beginning to the end. So opinion, give me a break. When we say my opinion, we're trying to say is I've got a point of view here and this is the way I think about it, what have you. But when God has a point of view, it's a lot more than an opinion. He built it all. He created it all. He ideated it all. I don't know why they say ideate is a word. But anyway, that they use that in my profession all the time. Ideation. Suicide ideation. Wow, just, you know, she had thoughts of suicide. But they got reasons for that. What I'm trying to say is God has a point of view also. And you're very foolish if you don't consider God's point of view in every single thing. Stop and think. What about God's point of view? Forget that WWJ whatever. What would Jesus do? Why don't you just ask, how does God think about this? Isn't that basically what you're saying? What would God think? What would God's opinion about this be? And if you don't ask that question, you've ignored God's point of view. And God's up in heaven saying, it's all mine. That's a point of view. Don't you think about that? God looking down and say, it's all mine. Well, there's a point of view for you. That's a real nice viewpoint. God says, I see it all, and it's all mine. You might ought to stop and think about that. You know what that means? God looks at it and says, it ain't yours. It's mine. Yeah, he says, what you own, it ain't yours. It's mine. Your children, they're not yours. They're mine. That's God's point of view. I didn't say this, it's him saying it. He says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. I think governments ought to consider God's point of view. Yeah, all the kings of the earth are going to bow the knee someday. All of them. Oh, they're going to rage at first. Oh, they're going to rage, and God's going to laugh. And that laugh ain't going to be funny. You read Psalm 2, you find out. And he tells the rulers of the world, all the kings of the world, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You better be careful you don't cross God. You read the book of Kings or the book of Chronicles, and you see how often in there it talks about a king. And this king was, you know, started at such and such a reign, and he reigned 34 years, and then he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know what God's trying to tell you? His point of view. Now, there's an awful lot of stuff done by those kings that God just overlooks. But God says, but he did the right thing here, and he did the right thing there. See, God's got a point of view about the decisions even our governments are making. God has a point of view about the latest decision by the Supreme Court. And they're completely ignoring God. In fact, we've got what we call a secular government. And I understand the importance of secular government. They didn't invent it. Rationalists in the Enlightenment did not invent secular government. Jesus invented it when he said, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Secular government, where the church or the religious people don't run society, don't make the rules, that's Jesus' concept. He's the one who put it out there. But when they've decided that we need a secular government, and so then they decide to completely throw God's point of view out the window, as if it doesn't matter. So that it doesn't matter why God created sex. It doesn't matter why God created marriage. It doesn't matter why God gave children to families. It doesn't matter what God thinks about child rearing. Doesn't matter. They can just make a law and say spanking kids is wrong. We're going to punish it by jail. And they do make those laws. It's all over the place. They've got that law now in Poland. We just found out about it. The law that you cannot spank your child. It's against the law. But they forgot to read what God said. Now, I understand if you've got to make some laws to protect some people. I get it. I know you have some responsibilities, too, and you have a point of view, and God understands your point of view. He's paying attention to your point of view. But, boy, you better take into consideration His point of view when you start making laws. You really ought to consider that. And let me tell you something. God knows you have a different point of view than Him. God understands that you think a little differently than Him. And you don't have to always agree with His point of view. That's what prayer is about, by the way. God, creation is an amazing thing. God made a whole lot of independent people with their own minds and their own ability to make decisions. And God holds you accountable for the decisions you make, even from a child. Even from a child, you are accountable for the decisions you make. And God allows you to make all those decisions based on your point of view. He tells you you'd be wise if you'd consider other people's point of view. He'd be really wise if you consider God's point of view. But I just want you to notice, this makes me think about it. God looks down and says, this all is mine. That's His point of view. You ought to consider it. Now, there's another point that needs to be made, and that's God's endorsement of, well, let's just say it, capitalism. Property, ownership, proprietorship. Now, that's not going to be very popular in some circles. They think, you know, well, no, nobody owns these things. It belongs to everybody. Or what they said in one of these late presidential campaigns said, you didn't build that. You didn't build that. It's not yours. You had help, so it belongs to all of us. It's like when you go to work. And you got your own lunch, you got your lunch. Somebody else didn't bring lunch, and he says, well, that lunch belongs to all of us, because I didn't bring lunch. And you say, nuh-uh. And you're willing to fight. You're willing to say, this is mine. How many of you think that when somebody breaks into your house, they have just as much right to your stuff as you have? Well, who thinks that? Nobody thinks that. Not even socialists think that. Nobody has a right to break into somebody else's house and take their stuff. We didn't invent this. God endorses property. God endorses ownership. Otherwise, He wouldn't be able to say, hey, this is mine. All of this belongs to me. That's what He says. The earth is the Lord's. Lord's, that's property. That's possession. And didn't Jesus put that parable out where He says the owner of the vineyard, he hires some people early in the morning, they go and they work. He says, I'll give you a penny a day. They go and they work, and they're working all day for a penny. And he sees some more around noon, says, yeah, y'all go in there too, and I'll pay you whatever's right. You know, and so, yeah, they go in there and they're getting paid. And then the people at the end, I mean, talking about the 11th hour of the workday. We're talking about probably 5 in the afternoon, just before sundown. He sees some people out there that have been idle. They just didn't get a job. And he feels sorry for them. He says, tell you what, get in there and work and get something out of this day. I'll pay you what's right. And at the end, the owner of that thing, of the vineyard, he says, you know, just pay. He tells his steward, just pay them all. Pay them all a penny. Take care of them. And for some reason, the people that started last got out first. Doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, anyway. They get out first. They're first in line to get, and they get paid a penny. Oh, they get the whole day's wage, and they only work an hour. They're all happy. And you know what? The people behind there that had been working all day, they finally got done with their stuff. They come up there and they see them getting a penny after they only worked an hour. And they thought, boy, what are we going to get, man? And they get up there and all they get's a penny. And they gripe. But you know what God, what Jesus said? He says that owner of the vineyard looks at him and says, you've got no complaint against me. Is it not mine to do with whatever I want to with? As long as it's mine, I can do. And I made an agreement with you for a penny. I paid you exactly. But because I'm good to these other people, you're upset at me. Now, everybody here understands that. We all can understand the point of view of the people who worked all day long. Come on, you know you can. You can feel it, you can sense it, you know you feel like you deserve more. How come they get more? But they didn't get more. They just got a blessing. Now these are the points of view, but God clearly endorses ownership. Ownership. It's a concept that what you build, what you make, what you create, what you work at, you ought to be able to enjoy the privileges of all of that. It's a matter of this is mine. Now let me ask you something. If you work hard and God blesses your work and you wind up having a lot and you're getting ready to die, don't you think you have the right to give it to whoever you want? You could give it to the poor. You could give it to a charitable donation. Or you could give it to the Salvation Army. You could give it to the government. Or you can give it to your children. And if your children receive it from you, it's theirs. They own it. It belongs to them. Do they deserve it? Yes, they deserve it. I wasn't trying to stump you there or catch you. But yes, they deserve it. Because their daddy worked for it. Happy Father's Day. Mama's worked for it too. Sorry about that. Hey, but they deserve it because it was given to them. And God is endorsing that entire concept by just saying, there it is mine. I give it to whomsoever I will. I do whatever I want to with it because it's mine. I made it. I created it. I made it up. I invented it. I had all the good ideas. So I get to do what, hey, it's mine. You get that concept. You understand it perfectly. But somehow you don't live like it. You don't live like it belongs to God. Doesn't He deserve it?
Amen.
Isn't it His? Didn't he create it? It wasn't here before Him. It didn't always exist. I'm just going to let you know. I know atheists seem real smart, but boy, they have really missed out on something really basic. Universes don't create themselves. Stuff doesn't just happen. It has to be created. There has to be an idea, a mind, a superintelligence behind it all. And if there is, which there is, and there's no reason to disbelieve that, there's no good argument against that. Not any good argument against that. There is a creator, and He made it all. Then it's His.
Yeah.
I don't care how smart they want to make you think they are. And that's all it is. They're trying to make you think they're smart. But I don't care how smart they want to pretend that they are. They're being very foolish and not realizing there is a creator, and He owns it. He owns it all. Now, what that means is, our opinion doesn't really matter that much. We're building we're doing some renovating in our house. We're, you know, rearranging a couple walls and putting in a new kitchen and what have you. Yeah, I'm independently wealthy. Eat your heart out. We had this problem though because we get it all decided and I said, okay, sounds good to me. I don't really care that much. And my wife had decided, that sounds pretty good to me. But then the daughters had come over. No, not that color. No, not that tile. No, not this. No, not the wall here. No, not the thing. I didn't hear what you said, but anyway, no comments from the peanut section. Anyway, it got to the point where we'd go to bed at night and we'd be talking and she'd say, well, I've changed my mind on this and I've changed my mind on that. Where are you getting this? Finally, I told her. Don't pay attention to what anybody else wants. This is our kitchen. Let's do what you want.
Amen.
Just whatever you want. If you think you'd like it this way, who cares if somebody else doesn't like it that way? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what Jenny likes. I don't care what Amanda likes. I don't care what Audie wants. I don't care what Karen likes. Just whatever you like, tell me. And that's what we'll do. So now she just doesn't tell me where she's getting her ideas. It's our house. If we want to paint the walls white, we're capable of painting them white. We're not painting them black. That's for sure. Anyway, God endorses ownership.
Amen.
He gives you certain things, and they're yours. And you have to do what you have to do. But I want you to consider that God's ownership is different, categorically different than our ownership. Now, we do own stuff, right? We own land and what have you. But have you ever heard of eminent domain? You just thought you owned that. No, they just come take it away from you. They'll pay you a fair price. Fair price. Yeah, yeah. You thought you owned it, but you realize that your ownership is tentative, contingent, temporary, depending. Lots of things go into our ownership. Can't pay the taxes? Oh, well, you lost it. Maybe you don't realize it, but that is the truth. But if God owns everything, doesn't that point out to an awful lot of grace on His part that He puts up with your stupid opinions messing up with stuff and allowing you to make decisions about His stuff? And you do. You make decisions and He just lets you make your decisions and He gives you all kinds of free rein. He makes you accountable, by the way. Freedom doesn't mean that you have no rules. Freedom means you're accountable later. You got freedom now, you're accountable later. So you are accountable to God. He does own everything, but consider the amount of grace He has to let you make your decisions while He owns everything. That's an awful lot of grace. I remember the story about a guy, about a lady that was taking a bus, long bus trip. Back in the days when you took long bus trips to get somewhere, you didn't drive there, you just took a bus trip. And the bus on the way had several truck stop places that they would stop so people would get out and go to the bathroom and, you know, get a snack, whatever. And the bus driver would stop and he'd stand up and say, "You got 15 minutes. And, you know, they'd all go out and they'd pile into the little cafe or the little convenience store and they'd stand in line and buy their, you know, little snacks, Twinkies or whatever they buy. Well, this lady was on this bus trip and she gets out. And for the 15 minutes, he said, "No, I got to get my stuff and get in and get back in." She gets out and gets in line. And then, you know, a bunch of people piled up in line. So she gets in line. She finally gets up at the front and she buys a little package of cookies. And she goes back and there's a little area where people can sit, a bunch of little small tables where they can sit. And so she goes back and she sits down and she looks across over there and another lady there has some cookies, but she had a little small carton of milk. Oh, she thought, "I should have got myself a carton of milk." So she gets back up there and goes back and gets in line. If this line was shorter by now, she gets her carton of milk and she's walking back over there. And there's this guy, a scruffy guy, looks almost homeless, got his hair all tussled, whatever. But he's sitting at her table eating her cookies. And she's so angry, she cannot, how is it possible that he just sits down where I was sitting, takes my cookies, opens them up, and starts eating them? But she didn't have the whatever it is that requires the moxie to go up and say, "You're not allowed to do that. Those are my cookies." So she just sits down where she was sitting before, and she reaches out and grabs her cookie, and she eats it. And so he gets a cookie, and he eats it. And so she gets a cookie, and she eats it. And she's fuming the whole time. And there they go, and they get down to one last cookie. And she's so angry, and he takes that cookie, and he breaks it in half, and he hands her. And she eats it. He eats it. And he says, "See you later." He gets up and walks over and gets on the bus. And she's so angry. She doesn't know what to do. She's trying to calm down. And she's going to have to get back on that bus with this guy. And she reaches down and gets her purse. And she notices her cookies in her purse. Egg on my face. I just want you to consider how much grace that homeless guy that was on the bus had when this crazy lady sat down at his table and starts eating his cookies, angry, and then he breaks the last one in half. That's a lot of grace, don't you think? I think God's had a lot of grace with us. He's putting up with a lot of bad attitudes, a lot of selfishness, a lot of self-importance, a lot of demands that we have of Him, a lot of impatience and all kinds of things that we got with God, and it's all His. He says, but this is mine. It's all mine. And you act like it's yours, and you can demand when something gets taken away. Remember Job? He says, man, God gave. God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's our attitude supposed to be. But since that's not our usual attitude, I think God's putting up with us pretty good with an awful lot of grace. Another point, and that is God's promise to claim what's His. This is all the way through the Bible. God says, sooner or later, I'm coming for my own stuff. Right now, I'm putting up with you, putting up with an awful lot. I'm just allowing you to take my cookies and eat them. I'm letting you do whatever you want to with my stuff. You're destroying our planet. You're destroying the government. You're actually hurting innocent people. You're doing all kinds of stuff, making your own decisions, completely disregarding my will. But here's a promise. I'm going to come claim what's mine. And He considers it all His. Land of Israel belongs to God. Gives it to whoever He wants. You say, well, it's not fair because I'm Palestinian. I get it. I understand. I do sympathize with your point of view. But God says it's His. Yeah? All of it. United States belongs to God. You say, but yeah, we were a secular, we were born a secular country. We separated church and state. But it belongs to God. San Antonio belongs to God. It don't matter which political party has power, it belongs to God. And God says, it's mine. I'm letting you mess with it right now. I'm letting you act like an idiot right now. I'm letting you do your stuff right now. He says, but I'm coming for it because it's mine. This is God's promise to claim what is His. You know, in those parables where He talks about the angels are going to come at the end of the world and they're going to sever the wicked from the just. He says one time, He says those angels are going to gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. That offend Him. Doesn't matter whether it offends you. You're probably not terribly offended by all that junk. I know, because you can watch television and you're not terribly offended. That doesn't mean God ain't. You go to the beach, you see the stuff people wear, or I should say don't wear. You go to the beach, you see the stuff people don't wear. Well, you've gotten used to it. It's not terribly offensive. And if you're a red-blooded young man, you think, that's not too bad. Right? But God might be offended. Yeah? You see all the stuff they're doing, like, you know, the commercials that they make, the advertisements, the stuff, the political advertisements, the political decisions, all the stuff that they're doing, you've gotten to the place where it just rolls off your back. You've gotten used to it. But that doesn't mean God's used to it, because God's got a claim. He says the earth is mine, and it ought to be done my way. I think about Malachi, where God, the first chapter of Malachi, where God says, I'm a father. Where's my honor? Hey, I'm a father. He says, where's my honor? Fathers deserve some honor, it looks to me. He says, I'm a master. Where's my fear? How come nobody fears me? I'm the master. He talks about the governor. Yeah, he's the governor. How come he doesn't get to do what he needs to do? He's the governor. He makes decisions right. He ought to be able to. But no, not in your life. No way. You're free. You get to do whatever you want. Yeah. He's the provider. Hey, it matters if you're the provider. If you're the one paying the rent, you get to say what's done in the house, it seems to me like. If you're the one paying the mortgage, it don't matter what the kid thinks. Well, we could sure learn that a lot. A lot of people could learn about that. You say, you're doing it my way because you're under my roof. That makes a lot of sense to me. Makes a lot of sense to me. Doesn't really matter what you think. He's a king. He calls himself a king. He says, where's my honor? He says, from the east, where the sun rises, to the west, where it sets, my name is honored among the Gentiles. But among my own people, they treat me like nothing. You think God might have some kind of a complaint? He says, I'm coming to claim what's mine. Now you got to stop and think about what you have and you control, but that really belongs to Him. God. He says, it's mine. And I'm coming to get what's mine. That is His claim. All right. God's expectation of His own. You reckon God has any expectations?
Yes.
Seems to me that God makes it clear in His Word, He expects something. He expects worship. He expects offerings. He expects sacrifice. You say, He's so powerful, it's just force. He's a despot. He comes in here and just forces everything. He's got to be His way. No, it's ownership. It belongs to Him. He deserves it. It's His right. It's what he, and you know something, let me tell you, that's true in everybody's situation. I don't care if it's the Bedouin, the nomad in Saudi Arabia, or I don't care if it's the Bushman in Africa, or if it's those livers up in the high mountains of Tibet. I don't care where they are. They all owe God everything. They owe God everything. But what about a Christian where the Bible says you were bought with a price and you feel like you owe God nothing? In fact, your entire life is built around your own convenience. Nothing about what God deserves. Oh, me. Because that's our life. Our life is revolving around ourselves. And God has to keep reminding us, it's all mine. I came up with it all. It's been usurped away from me, and I've endured it with a lot of grace. I've put up with it all these years, but sooner or later, especially Christians ought to be able to look at it and say, we owe God something. Maybe our lives. Maybe some time. Maybe some worship. Maybe a little bit of effort. At singing. Amen. 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 Keep preaching that one. Park there for a while, preacher. Some effort. Are you tired? What about God? He says, I'm expecting something. I expect something. Wow. What would be the proper attitude if you thought about God owning everything? What would be the proper attitude? Can you imagine that it ought to be at least some humility? He owns everything. Everything comes from His hand. Everything. I know you think that it was all sort of accidental and that, you know, no, it's not true. Everything comes from His hand. Even the beat of your heart, every so often, that comes from God. It's all God. The air you breathe, the food you eat, the sunlight that comes through the clouds, all of that comes from God. And then the blessings of all our freedoms and all of that comes from God. That doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. God gave it to you. And He gave it to you through His Word and through His creative force, by His intelligence, by everything. He just gave it to you. Doesn't that create some humility on your part? Not act like you're the king of the world, like you're the one that everybody ought to cater to, that everybody ought to take care of you. You're not the center of the universe. God is. And that ought to make us humble. You think God expects humility?
Yes.
He expects some humility. How many times He says that He does things exactly so that people won't be proud? He makes salvation by grace through faith so that people won't boast.
Right.
He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud at every turn. God expects people to be humble. God expects people to be generous. Do you notice how you grab a hold of your stuff and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine? And God says, no, it's not yours. It's mine. And if you realize it really was His, you might consider yourself more of a steward rather than an owner. And God endorses ownership. I believe it. But God thinks you ought to think of yourself as a steward of His stuff. That's how all of his parables work out. He leaves and leaves you in charge, but not of your own stuff, of his stuff. And he says, I've got some expectations. And here's my expectations. Expect you to do something good with it. So you got some freedom, yeah, but accountability. Freedom comes with accountability. Accountability comes with freedom. Those things are inseparable. They happen together. So you've got some freedom. You think, I got freedom. I can do whatever I want. No. You've got some accountability. And you got stuff that God gave you. And you ought to be a little bit more, I don't know, just a little bit more generous with your stuff. A little bit less clam-fisted with your junk.
Amen.
Yeah. Maybe a lot less focused on your stuff. Because it belongs to God. Hey, and by the way, He's going to take it back. You can't take it with you. He's going to say, come on up here. Or how do you say, come up hither. He's going to say that to you. And he say, come up hither. He's going to say, no, leave all that. Leave all that stuff behind. That's how He's going to do it. Another thing, I think He deserves a little bit of acknowledgement.
Yeah,
maybe a little praise, a little recognition. Somebody open their mouth and say, it belongs to God. It's all God's. God did it all. God's pretty amazing. He's pretty, how do they say it nowadays? Awesome. I one time used the word awesome, and one of my children said, I didn't know you knew that word. They thought it was a new word. That's interesting. Anyway, how about a little appreciation to God? Yeah, man, I think that's what God's expecting. How about some thankfulness? Well, I think people ought to be a little more thankful. A little more open in their appreciation of what God has given. Or what God has done. Or what God owns and is allowing you to enjoy. Whoa! God says, I have some expectations of my people. I think they ought to be thankful. You know, one of the complaints he has about people in the world is neither were they thankful. They weren't thankful for the stuff I gave them. Some of them even deny that I exist. I can see God talking to his angels. Can you believe these people? They deny that I exist. How about a little submission? It all belongs to God. Why can't he make a decision? Seriously, why can't he make a decision about your stuff, about your job, about your retirement, about your 401k, about your savings? Yeah, how come he can't make a decision about your health, about your children? It looks to me like he ought to be able to make some decisions in your life because he's the owner. He owns it all. So when he comes up and he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means every little detail in it. Not just the whole world, but everybody that dwells in it, everything that's in it, all the wolves, all the camels, all the elephants, all the trees, all the rainforest, all the ice, it all belongs to God. All the little children. All the unborn babies. Doesn't God get any kind of submission? Doesn't God get any kind of deference? So you would say, whatever God wants. So that if he takes something away from you, you could say, well, it is God's. It is God's. It belongs to him, right? Oh, just a little bit of submission. And how about if he tells you what he wants out of you? He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to meet together, assemble yourselves together with the brethren. That's what he wants. You know, he did say that. That's what he wants. And instead of being submissive, what we have is Christians saying, well, I'll do it if I want to, if I feel like it, because you think you own it all. You think you own your time. You think you own all the seconds of your day. You can parse them out however you want. And God says, wait a minute, it's all mine. It's mine. I gave it all. I give you your life. I give you everything. It's mine. What about submitting to me? What about submitting to God's word? Whatever God says. How come it is that we have to be so smart that we can just twist and pull and tug and move the Bible this way and that way and retranslate and just come up with some other thing than what he said in the book? We say, no, we can't submit to God, but God says it's all mine. This is God's attitude. This is God's point of view. This is God's promise to claim. This is God's expectation out of people. It's His expectation out of us. And like I said, Christians, you got a lot more reason than just the fact that God's the owner of everything. You were bought with a price. God did more for you. He took care of all of your sin problems and all of these things. You would think that Christians would be a little more ready to submit to whatever God wants. And to be a little more thankful. And to be a little more open and generous and giving and praising. And put out a little more effort. You'd think. Let's stand and sing number 388. If you've got something you want to speak to God about, this altar's open. We're going to sing number 388.